Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Chof Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Take note that today's shiur begins at the bottom line of Daf Chof Ches Amid Beis. We quote from the Mishnah where reference was made to animals that are, we'll say, not productive. The caretaker, the one who finds it, shall sell them and keep the money aside until the owner comes to claim his lost item. You will give him the cash value that you acquired for that sale. The Mishnah presented a machlokes tanoim between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva regarding the use of that money on the part of the finder in the interim until the original owner comes to claim it. Ma yehe bedomim. Rabbi Tarfon oimer yishtamish v'chule. The Gemara now comments. Ad kan lo pligi. Up till now, Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva aren't arguing. We continue at the top of Daf Chof Tes. Elo kishe nishtamish bohen. As we mentioned in our previous shiur, the literal translation of this word is something that has to be kept in, we'll say, in flux, without committing ourselves to any final translation, allowing the Gemara itself to unfold and explain this in greater detail. Rashi, on the third line from the top, says kishenishtamesh lav dafka, doesn't mean actual use, because the literal translation would be that the machlokis between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva arises when you used the money. So Rashi is quick to point out it doesn't mean you actually used the money. Elo mishum schar shimush komar mipnei shemuter lishtamesh bohen. Rabbi Tarfon speaks in terms of the right that you have to use it, and Rabbi Akiva speaks about the prohibition that you have with regard to the use of that money. On the top line, Rashi says, regarding the Gemara's comment that up till now, the machlokis is elo kishin ishtamish b'en, Rashi continues, mishum schar shimush mos. The machlokes between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva surrounds how we look at the right to use the money. Schar shimushmos would mean the value that you receive for being allowed to use the money. According to Rabbi Tarfon, who says you are technically speaking, you the finder of the item after you sell it and get the money for it, you have a right to use that money. That right is of value to people. People oftentimes take out loans, and in modern banking terms, people even pay interest for taking out loans. The receipt of a loan is something of value to people. So according to Rabbi Tarfon, that is a value that you receive, and therefore we can classify you as a type of shomer socher. You're guarding the money in the meantime, but you're also receiving compensation for your services in the form of the right to use the money. So Rashi explains that the machlokis between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva focuses on that, the are you receiving a benefit in terms of the right to use the money? Avoschar shmiras mitzvah. But as far as the reward that you get for fulfilling the mitzvah of watching, of caring for someone's lost article, dinemo, based on which we should say migu de loboy the mesiv rifta la'anya. In general, when you are, let us say, in the midst of performing a mitzvah, we have a concept called ha'oisik b'mitzvah poter min ha'mitzvah, which we'll see immediately in Rashi. While you are caring for the lost item, imagine a poor man comes along seeking a contribution of tzedakah. While you are caring for the lost item, you don't have to give him the loaf of bread that he's seeking out for tzedakah purposes. So by caring, by performing the mitzvah, you're saving yourself and hence considered profiting the value of the bread that you would have had to give to the poor man if you were idle. That is referred to schar shmiras mitzvah. And you, as we said, you're exempt from the mitzvah of charity at that point, that you're caring, that you're actively caring for the item. Da oisik b'mitzvah poter min ha'mitzvah. That schar, that benefit, lo mechayvinon lei, that doesn't obligate you who are caring for a lost item. That itself doesn't obligate you upon loss of the money. What might obligate you is the fact that you have the benefit of using the money. That's as far as certainly Rabbi Tarfon is concerned. We continue in the Gemara. Avol loy nishtamesh bohen. If, however, there, and here again, we're not giving you a literal translation, but we're following the cue that Rashi provides. If, however, you had no right to use the money, then im avdu poter. Had the money become lost then, you would have been exempt like a shomer chinam, like an unpaid bailee. If it were so that you had no right to use the money, then everyone would have agreed that you would be classified as a shomer chinam, an unpaid bailee, and someone like that is not obligated to compensate in the event of aveda, in the event of the item being watched getting lost. And by concluding that, we're saying that the schar mitzvah that we pointed out before in the Rashi does not constitute the fact that you saved yourself from having to pay out that loaf of bread. That's not considered payment for your services. With that having been said, that the person caring for the aveda is viewed as a shomer chinam, lema tehevei tufta de Rav Yosef. Shall we now say that our Mishnah with Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva represents a refutation to the stance taken by the Amora Rav Yosef? The Itmar Shomer Aveda regarding someone caring for a lost article. Rabba Omar Kishomer Chinom, Rav Yosef Omer Kishomer Socher. Rabba is in line with what we've said up till now, that you're viewed as a Shomer Chinom. You're not getting paid. Very nice you're doing a mitzvah. Very nice that in the course of the mitzvah you don't have to give the charity because of Oisek B'mitzvah Poter Mena Mitzvah, but that doesn't make it such that you're considered getting paid. You're like a shomer chinam, and the standard that applies to shomer chinam states that if the item gets lost, you're exempt. Rav Yosef, on the other hand, says that when you're watching a lost item, you have the status kishomer socher. Why do you have the status of a shomer socher? So it's like we said before, since at the time that you're actually caring for the item, whatever, you're airing it out, you're making other caring actions for it to preserve it. Gemara later on will deal with that topic extensively. Rav Yosef says, since while you're caring for it, you're exempt from paying tzedaka, from giving tzedaka, that's like pay. The mitzvah that you're performing, another approach, by the way, says that the mitzvah that you're performing is considered your pay. That's Rav Yosef's approach. But as we said before, it's between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva, who are our Tanoim. When you discount the issue concerning the use of the money, when you remove that from our discussion and simply focus on the initial care of a lost item, the Tanoim, would have said, you're not a Shomer Sochar, you're a Shomer Chinam. That poses a problem for Rav Yosef. We answer. Notice we have a long answer marking on behalf of Rav Yosef. Omar lo, Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef will answer. Begneva ve'aveda dekuli amalo pligi dechayev. Whether Rabbi Tarfon or Rabbi Akiva, they both agree that for cases of theft or loss, the Shomer Aveda, the one who's caring for the lost item, will be obligated to compensate, because they will agree with me that the standard that applies to a Shomer Aveda is one of a Shomer Sachar. Since you're performing the mitzvah, you are considered getting paid. We explained before, and Rashi reiterates this, that you're an oisek b'mitzvah poter mitzvah. While you're caring for it, you don't have to pay out the charity. So that a penny saved is a penny earned. So as far as the Tanoim are concerned, says Rav Yosef, there's no one will disagree with me that you're at least considered a Shomer Sochar. And as a paid Bailey, the standard of obligation includes compensation in the case of theft or loss. Ki pligi be'oinsin deshoyol. The machlokes between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva is how to view the fellow who sold the item and got money for it. Is he considered like a borrower? A borrower is one of the four different kinds of shomrim, and the borrower, the shoyl, has the highest standard of obligation, namely that even if the loss to the borrowed item is through circumstances beyond your control, but nevertheless you have to compensate for its loss. Do we look at the shomer in our Mishnah who had to sell the item because it couldn't support itself? Do we look at him as a shoyel, as a borrower? Rabbi Tarfon savar shorule rabbonon lishtemushi begavayu. Rabbi Tarfon's approach is that the rabbis entitle the finder in our Mishnah to use the money. You have a right to use the money. Because you have the right to use the money, you are considered a borrower. And as such, you're chayav even for oinsin. Oinsin is that very high level of obligation that if a loss happens even beyond your control, you'll have to compensate. Rabbi Akiva savar lo shorulei rabbanon lishtemushi begavayu. Rabbi Akiva says the rabbis don't give you a right to use the money. You're not a user of the money. You don't even have a right to use the money. Hilchach lo havi shoyel alayu. Therefore, you're not considered like a borrower of it. But a shomer sachar you are, because of the schar mitzvah aspect that we had mentioned before. So as far as Rav Yosef is concerned, our Mishnah does not represent a refutation to his point of view that, in general, a Shomer Aveda is considered a Shomer Sochar. What we see in our Mishnah is a very special case, a unique situation where you sold the item and the animal that couldn't support itself, and you got money in its stead, and now the question is, can you use the money, etc., and so forth. But in a general case of someone watching a lost item, caring for a lost item, everyone will agree that the person caring for it has the status of a Shomer Socher, and practically speaking, that means that if it's lost or stolen, Aveda or Geneva, he has to compensate for that. The Gemara asks, "E hachi." If we're to accept Rav Yosef's explanation, "Lefikach di Omar Rabbi Akiva loma li." Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah added, in addition to his saying "Lo yishtamish bohen," he said "Lefikach im avdu ein chayav bachri yusan." If we're going to accept Rav Yosef's explanation, Rabbi Akiva says that the rabbis do not entitle you to use the money. Isn't the continuation of Rabbi Akiva's statement obvious? He continues by saying, therefore, if it's lost, meaning if there's a onus, if something beyond your control causes its loss, you're not obligated. That's obvious. You're not even allowed to use the money. Let's learn Rashi together. Three lines from the end of the Rashi commentary. My lefikoch de Rabbi Akiva, kevan diomar lo yishtamesh. Since Rabbi Akiva says you have no right to use it, mehecho tesik adaiten lechiyuve. From where would it occur? From where would someone even get the idea that you would be obligated for compensation in the case of ones circumstances to itzdrich lemeimar eino chayav, that I would need the Mishnah to come and say that you're not obligated? So very simply put, if you're going to accept Rav Yosef's approach that the whole machlokus between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva surrounds the issue of to be chayav for oinsim, Rabbi Akiva's exempting the individual from oinsim is obvious. It doesn't have to be spelled out. There's no need for Rabbi Akiva to spell out lefikoch im avdu eino chayav bachri yuson. The Gemara responds. Take note, by the way, that we have a bracketed section. The explanation that we provide on the side states that these brackets are for initial skipping purposes. After the bracketed section, you'll find the Gemara continues the question. It elaborates on the question. And let us skip the bracketed section first, and then reach the answer, and then we'll go over what you see in the brackets. So once again, we're saying, if we're going to accept Rav Yosef's approach, what was the necessity of the Lefikoch statement of Rabbi Akiva? We read just before the brackets, we read Ihochi, Lefikoch di Omar Rabbi Akiva Lomali, and now we skip the bracketed section. Hachi miboya le lemisna. The Mishnah should have stated the following. Rabbi Akiva Oimer, Lo Yishtamish Bohen. Rabbi Akiva, in response to Rabbi Tarfon, is saying, do not use the money. You don't have a right to use the money. Vano Yodano, and I would calculate on my own. De Kevan de Lo Yishtamish Bohen, Lav Shoyol Habe, Vieno Chayav Bachriusan. Since you don't have a right to use the money, You're not a borrower. You don't have the status of a shoel, and therefore you're not chayev for their loss through ones. And here the Gemara reiterates, lefikach the Rebbe Kiva lomali. What was the purpose in spelling all of that out? The Gemara answers, you know what? You're right. There really was no purpose. Why is it found? Mishum lefikach the Rebbe Tarfon. Because Rebbe Tarfon in the Mishnah spelled out the result of his point of view, namely, you're allowed to use the money, and therefore you're chayav for ones. So to maintain the Tanaic balance and structure, the same appeared with Rabbi Kiva, his saying, therefore you're not chayav in ones, even though, as we said, it's obvious. The Gemara, before we go back to the bracketed section, the Gemara will ask, well, ulefikach de Rabbi Tarfon lomali? The lefikach statement of Rabbi Tarfon as well, what do I need to spell that out? If you, and here, be careful, we're going to state something that is not consistent with the explanation we gave before, but we're doing so deliberately. The Gemara here is asking, why is it necessary to spell out the result of Rabbi Tarfon's point of view? If you've used the money, what did Rabbi Tarfon say in the Mishnah? Rabbi Tarfon said, after the Mishnah asked, what's with the money? Rabbi Tarfon says, Yishtamish ben, use the money. Remember how we hesitated translating that word before? Well, here's the reason for it. If, according to Rabbi Tarfon, the Mishnah is saying you can use the money, so it's obvious that you're chayav in achrayas. That's the rule that applies in general, which we know from many other sources, that if you use someone's thing, you're obligated in compensating, even for ein sim. I don't need this Mishnah to tell me that. The Gemara answers, hachi ka'omar. And here, be wary of the fine difference. Kevon deshoru le rabbonin lishtamushi begavayu, keman deshtamish begavayu domi, v'chayav b'achriyuson. This is how Rashi originally presented the words. Rabbi Tarfon is telling us not that he actually used the money, but he had permission to use the money. And since he had permission to use the money, even though he didn't actually use the money, even though he didn't actually behave as a shoyel, as a borrower, but he had the right to use the money, he's viewed as if he actually used the money, and therefore he is chayav bachris. He's chayav even for einsim. So there, all of that is in fact quite revealing. The fact that you had a mere right to use it, that upgrades you in terms of obligation to a shoyel, to having shoyel status. We skipped a rather significant section of Gemara in order simply to maintain the, we call the logical flow. What we accomplished was we completed the question and then saw the answer. Now, within the brackets, we have, by the way, a note that we alluded to before. Let's read the note together. On the side, there's a starred note, Sograyim L'Shem Dilut. The brackets here are for skipping purposes, initially. De'achreim Nimsa Hemshech HaShela. After the brackets, you will see, as we did, the continuation of the question. B'socha Sograyim, within the brackets, HaGemora Masbira, the Gemara will explain, the Lefi Rabba Loshon HaMishnah Muvan. As far as Rabba in his Machlokas with Rav Yosef, Rabba's approach that a Shomer Aveda is considered a Shomer Chinam, according to Rabba's approach, the language of the Mishnah is understandable. Aval Lefi Rav Yosef, Eich Efshe LaHasbir Loshon HaMishnah. As far as Rav Yosef is concerned, how are we to understand the language of the Mishnah? before we go into the Gemara text itself, let us simply review points that we've been mentioning along the way. We made allusion to different kinds of shomer, a shomer chinam, unpaid baili. His obligation to compensate arises only in the case where he's reckless with the item he was entrusted with. He is otherwise not obligated for compensating in the case of the item stolen from him or getting lost. A shomer sochar, since he gets paid for his services, he's a paid baili, he is obligated to compensate for geneva and aveda, but he's not obligated for oinsim, for things beyond his control. A shoyel has the highest level of obligation. He is obligated even in the case of oinsim. Now the Gemara within the brackets. The Gemara had asked, as far as Rav Yosef's explanation, we had asked, why is it necessary for Rabbi Akiva to spell out, after Rabbi Akiva says, you don't have a right to use the money, so Lefikoch, he said in the Mishnah, if something happens to it, you're not chayav in compensation. E Amr's worth the third wide line of the Gemara in the brackets. E Amr's Bishlama Beginneva Vaveda Hu Depligi. If you say, like Rabba, that the machlokus between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon is on the level of Geneva and Aveda, is he obligated to pay in the event of something getting stolen or lost? Hainu dekotoni, Rabbi Kiva emer lo yishtamesh bohen. Rabbi Kiva says, you do not use the money. Lefikoch im avdu. And here we dashed on an avdu. If the money is lost, eino chayav bachri yusan. You're not obligated to compensate. Salko daita chamina. I would have thought, without the Mishnah spelling this out, I would have thought Shomer Socher Havei k'Rav Yosef, that the Shomer Aveda should be viewed like a Shomer Socher, like Rav Yosef holds in general, and you should be Chayev because you should be Chayev for Geneva and Aveda because of Schar Mitzvah, because you're getting the reward of having done a Mitzvah. Ubegineva v'aveda mechayev. Again, we dashed on the line aveda, and for geneva and aveda, as a shomer socher is, would be obligated. Komash malon lefikoch, the lefikoch of Rabbi Kiva comes to dispel that. Namely, hashto the amris lo yishtamesh bohen. Now that you're telling me that you can't even use the money, shomer socher lo have v'lo mechayev begineva aveda. You're not even a Shomer Socher. And therefore, you're not chayev for theft or loss. Ela'i Amris, but if you're going to take the approach of Rav Yosef that says, as far as the Tanoim are concerned, all Tanoim agree that the Shomer Aveda has a Shomer Socher status. And what does that mean? Begineva va'aveda dekuli alma lo pligi dechayev. If you're going to take Rav Yosef's approach that all Tanoim, not only Rabbi Tarfon but Rabbi Kiva as well, hold that you're chayev for geneva and aveda, ki pligi ba'oinsin deshayol, and that their whole machlokes is whether or not the Shomer Aveda, who sold the item and got money for it, is he to be classified as a shoyel? And you said, according to Rabbi Akiva, lo yishtamish. It said in the Mishnah, lo yishtamish, which means that he is not going to be viewed as a shoyel, that he's going to retain his Shomer Socher status, as Rav Yosef had us believe. My Lefikoch Rabbi Kiva. What is the necessity of the Mishnah to spell out the obvious, that you're not Chayav for Oinsim? That you don't bear that level of chiyuv. Just to repeat the point, according to Rav Yosef, both Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva hold you are chayav for gnev and aveda. The exemption then stated under Rabbi Kiva's name would be you're exempt from einsim. But if you're not allowed to use the money, that's obvious. Why spell out the obvious? Hachi mibayaleva misna. According to Rav Yosef, the Mishnah should have read as follows: Rabbi Kiva imer lo yishtamish b'hen. Period, so to speak. Rabbi Kiva says you're not allowed to use the money. On my own, I would have known the cave under lo yishtamish b'hen lav shoyel have v'yeno chayav machar yuzan. Since you're not allowed to use the money, you're not considered a borrower over it, and you're not obligated for oinsim. Lefikuch Rabbi Kiva lamali. Why is that spelled out? The Gemara answers, Mishum lefikuch Rabbi Tarfon. It is spelled out only because Rabbi Tarfon spelled out his point of view, which said that if something happens, you know, he says there's a permission to use the money. You're allowed to use the money, and we attempted before to suggest Rabbi Tarfon says you will have used the money, and therefore if something happens you'll have to pay for even oinsim. The Gemara asks, oh, really? Is that how you are understanding Rabbi Tarfon? Ulefikuch Rabbi Tarfon lomali. Well, then even that becomes obvious. If you're using the money, Rabbi Tarfon in the Mishnah said, Yishtamesh bohen, use the money. You're allowed to use the money. And, well, if that's how we're understanding Rabbi Tarfon, that you're allowed to use the money, it's like you're borrowing the money. It's like you're a regular shoel. So it's obvious then from many other sources that one who is borrowing something of someone else is chayav even for einsim. What chidush is there in the lefikach of Rabbi Tarfon? Lefikach is, I didn't say this earlier, but it's simply an abbreviated way of saying the continuation, lefikach im avdu chayav bachar yusan. That whole continuation, even under Rabbi Tarfon, becomes obvious. The Gemara answers, hachi ka'omar. What Rabbi Tarfon is saying is really as follows: kevan deshoru le'rabbonin l'shtemushi b'gavayu. Since the rabbis gave you permission to use the money, even if you didn't actually use the money. It's as if you used the money. And the mere permission that you have to use the money is enough to obligate you even in einsim. Achrayas means literally responsibility to compensate, but even up to the tune of einsim. The Gemara asks, but the Mishnah doesn't make reference to oinus for avdu katani. The Mishnah spoke about loss. It said under Rabbi Tarfon, lefikach im avdu chayav bachar yusan, that if it gets lost, you're chayav to compensate. That sounds like we're dealing with not a shoel, as Rav Yosef would have you believe, but we're dealing with a shomer socher. A shomer socher is obligated for Geneva and Aveda. He's not chayav for oinsim, and the Mishnah focuses on avdu. The Gemara answers, ironically, we're citing Rabbah, but it's Rabbah who spoke in a different context. It's not referring to anything over here, but Kidda Rabbah, as Rabbah says elsewhere, the Omar Rabbah, Nignavu, the word Nignavu can refer to Ballistim Mizuyan, an armed theft, even though generally speaking nigdavu is a theft done in an evasive fashion, but it also can mean an armed theft. That is an example of ones. Avdu, that word can refer to shetovas finosa bayam, the sinking of a boat at high seas. That's also an example of something that's oines. So that the presence of the word ovdu in the Mishnah does not preclude the possibility of oness. So that the Mishnah can read according to Rav Yosef as well, where Rabbi Tarfon says, Yishtamish melefikochim ovdu, since you have a right to use the money, if an oness happens, chayav marchus, and you will have to compensate. So Rav Yosef's reading in the Mishnah is also justified. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, halacha k'Rabbi Tarfon. Rav Yehuda rules like Rabbi Tarfon that you're allowed to use the money. Bei rachbo havelei hano zuzi diasmi. In the household of rachbo, they had monies belonging to orphans. Also the kameder of Yosef. So Rachbo came to Rav Yosef, Omar le, mahu lishtamushi begavayu. Can I use these monies? Omar le, Rav Yosef said, Hochi Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel, halacha k'Rabbi Tarfon. Now, what does that mean? Yes, you can use the money. Omar le Abaye. Abaye intervened here and said, V'lav itmar Allah Omar Rabbi Chelbo Omar Rav Huna. Was it not said concerning the ruling like Rabbi Tarfon that it's qualified though? Lo shanu, the teaching of mutar l'shtamish ela b'dmei aveda hayo v'torach bo. That is limited to the very specific case of you're having sold a lost item that you found in exchange for money, and the right you have to use that money is because you were troubling yourself over the lost item. Initially, you were caring for the lost item. At a certain point, maybe at a rather early point, you sold the item, got money for it, but you were caring for a lost item. But a case of finding cash, the lo torach bohu lo. Where you found cash, you didn't extend yourself to care for the cash. In a case like that, you don't have a right to use that money. Money that you got, just to repeat ourselves, money that you got from selling a lost item that you had cared for, there was a ruling that you're allowed to use that money. But found cash, where you didn't have to extend yourself in its care, you can't use that money. Fahani, the case of the orphan's money that was in the possession of Rachba, Kemoi Saveda Damu, that has the same status as found cash. Hence, not something you have a right to use. Omar le Rav Yosef, who initially ruled you have a right to use it, he says to Rachbo, he says, Zil, go, lo shavki li da ashri loch. They're not letting me give you permission to use the money. In other words, Rav Yosef seems here to acknowledge the question and the difference between the heter of Rabbi Tarfon and the case that involved the Zuzi Diyasmi over here. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a Mishnah that highlights different kinds of lost items. And you can see we have a double underline, one of our series markings. And on the side of our Gemara, we have a Nosei / Mivneh topic heading with a structural note. The double underline highlights mitzios, shenos, v'tipulon, different kinds of found items and how they are to be cared for. The Mishnah, motza sforim. Sforim, in the Mishnah's context, are scrolls. If one found scrolls, kerei b'hen echad l'shloishim yoyim, you will read from them once every 30 days. The idea here is to air them out so that they don't develop mildew and eventually rot away. V'im eino yodea likrois, and if you don't know how to read, at least this you do. Goylulon, you roll them, you roll them open. We mentioned that they're sforum, the term sforum in the times of the Mishnah were scrolls. So you roll open and close the scroll, and that will air it out. Avalo yilmoy bohen betchila, you're not allowed to, when you open it up, you're not allowed to learn from the scrolls something that you have never learned before. There's more on this point that we'll see later in the Gemara. But the idea here is we don't want the scroll to be in a prolonged open use fashion. We're just trying to, after all, care for a lost item, preventing the mildew from forming. And that is accomplished by just the insignificant read through or rolling, but an initial study from it that's overuse of it. V'lo yikro acher imo, and when you're reading from it, we don't want to have someone else also reading from it. Each one will end up pulling the scroll in his direction and could end up tearing it. Motzuksus, if one finds a garment, minaro echod l'shloishim yoim, shake it out, air it out once every 30 days. V'shotcha l'tzorcha avolo l'chvoido, you can spread it out for the benefit of the article itself. Spreading it out enables it to be aired out, not be consumed by moths, but not for your own honor. You might have found an article of a significant article of clothing. You want to show it off to people, so that's not allowed. Klei chesef uklei nechishes, vessels made of silver or copper, mishtamish bohen l'tzorchon avo lo l'shachakon. You can use them for in a way that serves the benefit of the item, but not in a way that would cause their erosion. Clay zahav uklay zechuchis, gold articles, gold vessels or glass vessels, lo yiga bohen ad shiyovelio, don't touch them until Elijah comes. There's no additional care that's necessary with regard to the clay zav and the clay zechuchis. As is usually the case, you'll see the Gemara offers more details than what we're offering right now in the course of simply translating the Mishnah. Motzos sakai kupo, if one found a sack or a box, v'choldover shein darka lito, or any other item that it's not your style, your custom of lugging along in public, hareze lo yitol, you are not obligated to take it. You do not have to embarrass yourself in the care of a lost article, as we will see in the Gemara with a scriptural source as well. On the side of our Gemara, we have as our topic heading, Tipul the Sefer Torah, Hash'alah and Pikodon, the care of a Sefer Torah, in the context of something, that one that you borrowed, in the context of one entrusted to you. Let us now continue with the Gemara itself. Omar Shmuel Hamotzei Tfilin B'Shuk, one who finds Tfilin in a public area, Shom Demayim, you are to assess their value, umanichon altar. And when we speak about assessing their value, that means then you know their cash value. You set aside their cash value and umanichon altar and use them for yourself immediately. Mosif Ravina, Ravina raises as a question our Mishnah. It said motzus svarim kareben echad l'shloshim yom. If you found scrolls, you read from them once every 30 days. If you don't know how to read, you roll them. Gelulon in. Roll them open and closed, yes, but Shom Deman Manichan Lo. But an assessment of their value and then your subsequent personal use of them, that's not accounted for in the Mishnah. So we have a, how can Shmuel rule regarding finding a lost item, this idea of assessing its value and you're keeping it, putting aside the money value, when the Mishnah doesn't say that's how you deal with found scrolls? Omar Abaye explains that what Shmuel was referring to was something very specific. Tefillin Bei Bar Chavu, the tefillin that were produced by the Bar Chavu family, Mishkach Shrichi, they're very common, they're very easily replaced. So when you find them and assess their value, set aside money, the owner, in getting the money, will be able to easily replace the tefillin by new ones. Because mishkach shrichi, they're very common. Svarim lo shrichi, but scrolls, they're not common. And it will be hard for the original owner of the scroll, if you give him its cash value, to find and buy a replacement scroll. So we don't want you to assess them and end up keeping them for yourself, but rather care for them and return them to their original owner. Tonu Rabbanan. Here we have a Tanaic source, and you'll notice, if you are sensitive to markings, you notice a diagonal dashed line under the opening word Hashoyel. Two lines later, Hamafkid. Hashoyel is a borrower. Mafkid is case of someone watching an entrusted item. Hashoyel Sefer Torah Mechavero. One who borrows a Sefer Torah. Hareze lo yashilenu lacher. You're not entitled to loan it to someone else. Poschov korebo, you open it, can read from it. Uvachelo yumoy boy betchila. Reading from it, yes, but not a first learning from it. Velo yikro acher imo, and you are not to have someone read from the borrowed Sefer Torah together with you. In other words, two people at the same time is not permitted. V'chein hamafkid sefer Torah tzil chavero, and likewise with regard to an entrusted sefer Torah, you're asked to watch it. Geulaloi. Now here we've noted this is the Tanakama appearing, the first opinion in this section. Geulalo koshnei moser chodesh. You'll roll it open once every 12 months. Poischei v'kerbo. You can open it and read from it. Im b'shvilo paschoi osir. If you're opening it is for your own benefit, then it's prohibited. Sumchas omer b'chadosh shloishim yom. If it's a new scroll, a new Sefer Torah scroll, then once every 30 days. B'yoshon shnei moser chodesh. An old one, it's sufficient to open it once every 12 months. Rabbi Elazar ben Yankev omer echad zeh ve'echad zeh shnei moser chodesh. Whether it be an old one or even a new one, once every 12 months is enough. We translated the source. There are a number of questions that are to be raised. Omar Mar. Here we quote from the source. Hashoyel Sefer Torah Mechavero Reze Lo Yashilenu Leacher. The translation is that one who borrows a Sefer Torah from his friend, he is not to then in turn loan it to someone else. The Gemara asks, Ma'ir is Sefer Torah, why present this halacha of you're not being allowed to loan it to someone else in the context merely of a Sefer Torah, afilu kol mili nami? Even with regard to any borrowed item, this rule applies. You borrowed it, that doesn't give you a right to loan it to someone else. Diyoma Reb Shimon ben Lakish, Kan Shono Rebbe. The word kan means over here, but it doesn't mean literally over here. It's a reference to a Mishnah in Maseches Gittin. Rish Lakish appears there in Maseches Gittin And he says, based on the Mishnah here in Maseches Gittin, Rebbe taught, Ein Hashoyel Rashoy Lahashil, Ein Hashoyel Rashoy Lahaskir. One who borrows an item has no right to loan it to someone else. One who rents an item has no right to turn around and rent it to someone else. So we know this prohibition of lo yashilenu la'achir in general. Why is it necessary in this Tanaic source to teach it with regard to a Sefer Torah when it is not limited to a Sefer Torah? The Gemara answers, Sefer Torah, it's the richole. The case of the Sefer Torah was necessary to be taught. Why? Mahu detemo, I would have thought without this Tanaic source. Nichole leinish detevid mitzvah b'mamone. People are happy. Owners of Sifrei Torah are happy that mitzvahs should be done with their possessions. If you take that all the way, that means then that the owner of the Sefer Torah would be very happy if it would be then loaned by the borrower to someone else. Kol mash malon, we're telling you here that in all due respect to that idea of nichole linish tavid mitzvah b'mamone, that doesn't extend a right to you, a borrower, to then loan it on your own, to loan it to someone else. A quote from above, Poischoi v'kurei bo, regarding someone who borrowed a Sefer Torah. It says, you open it and read from it. Pshita v'lo lamai shaylei liminei. Is that not obvious that you, if you borrowed a Sefer Torah, that you can read from it? Why else would you have borrowed the Sefer Torah? The Gemara says, you're right. That really is obvious. But Sefer Itzterichole, it's the continuation of what was in that source that's necessary to be taught. Even though you're allowed to read from it, you're not allowed to use a borrowed Sefer Torah for your first learning of the topic. And we mentioned earlier that an initial learning of the topic involves, we'll say, an extended use of it, whereby you'll possibly labor over the passage that results in undue overuse of the borrowed Sefer Torah. And again, a quote from the source above, V'chein ha-mafkid Sefer Torah etzel chavero gulolo kol shnei mosur chidesh poischoi v'korei boi. This section of the source dealt with a Sefer Torah entrusted by you to watch. So you were asked by your friend, can you watch, keep in safekeeping my Sefer Torah? So the Gemara asks, my avidite gabe, if you're dealing with a Sefer Torah that you're asked to watch, what are you doing reading from it? It said in the source, poscho v'korei bo. You're not dealing here with something you borrowed for reading purposes. V'su, and furthermore, it said, im b'shviloi poschoi oser. If you're reading from it for your purposes, it is prohibited. But how can you say that? But you said you are allowed to open it and read from it. So there's an internal contradiction. We have two questions. One question is, first of all, why do you have a right to read from it? And the second question is, once you tell me that I have a right to read from it, how can you say that you're not allowed to read from it? Where it said, "In bishvila paschol aser, hachi ka'omar." So we straighten out matters as follows. It says it's teaching thusly: "Im kishu geiloloi poischoi v'korei bo muter." We're dealing with a Sefer Torah that you were entrusted to watch. Part of your caring for it is to air it out. We said air it out once every 12 months. So the Tanaic source tells me if when you're rolling it if while you're doing it for the purpose of the Sefer Torah, for its benefit, so you open it, you're allowed to read it at that time. However, im b'shviloi paschei aser, however, to open up a Sefer Torah that you were entrusted with to watch for, and you open up for your own personal purposes, that's prohibited. Sumchus omer b'chodesh loishim yoyim b'yoshan shnei moser chodesh. Rabbi Lozer ben Yankiv omer, and here we want to focus on his opinion. He says, echodzeh, whether it be a new Sefer Torah, an old Sefer Torah, the time frame for airing it out is Shneim Osar Chodesh. We have a little arrow to the side of the Gemara text. You can align this with an arrow that you see above. And on the line above that appears opposite the arrow, the source said, V'chein ha-mafkit Sefer Torah tzul chavera, yigilolo kol Shneim Osar Chodesh. Time frame for caring for the entrusted Sefer Torah is rolling it once every 12 months. What does Rabbi Elazar ben Yankiv say? He says, well, whether it's a new one or an old one, 12 months. So the Gemara asks Rabbi Elazar ben Yankiv, Hainu Tanakama. He is saying the same thing as the Tanakama. And if he appears in the same source together with other opinions, he wouldn't be appearing there simply to agree with the Tanakama. Tanoim appear together in the same source almost all the time to offer an alternative opinion. The Gemara therefore says, Elo Emo, rather we have to restate what Rabbi Elazar ben Yankiv is coming to say, and say it as follows. Rabbi Elazar ben Yankiv Omer, Echodzeh v'Echodzeh, Shloishim Yom. Whether it be a new one or even an old one, you would open it once every 30 days. The Rashi points out something interesting. We look in the Rashi, aim across from here, more or less. Emo echazev echazev shloshim yom umasnisin nami dikotoni. The Mishnah that spoke about finding sforim, and it said kuriban achas l'shloshim yom, and v'lo maflik bein yoshin l'chadosh, and made no distinction. Is Rabbi Elazar ben Yankiv, our Mishnah, really, even though no name appeared in it, represents his opinion. The once every 30 days, without qualifying or limiting it to new ones, but new ones and old ones as well, is his, Rabbi Elazar ben Yankiv's opinion. We continue in the Gemara. Avolo yilmoy boy betchila v'lo yikro acher imoy. We were taught in the Mishnah regarding one who finds a scroll, so he's not to learn from it an initial learning, and someone else is not to be with you to learn from it. V'raminu. Now we raise a contradiction. It says lo yikra parsha vishne, v'lo yikra boy parsha v'targem, v'lo yiftach boy yoser migimol dapim. All of these laws are taught in the context of your caring for a found scroll. So we're told here you don't read a section twice. You don't read a section in it and also the Aramaic translation. V'loyifta bo yoser megimol dapim. That means you don't open it so wide as to expose three columns. And three people should not read together from one scroll. Now, the scroll, this source, I should say, excluded three from reading, but that leaves room to infer Hoshnayim Korin. But two could read. If the dashed underline is what we want to emphasize here, and two lines above, there we said another person can't read with you, and here we're saying two people, that means you and someone else, are allowed. Omar Abaye, he answers, Lo kashya, kan b'inyin echod, kan b'shnei inyonim. Inyin echod, Rashi says, b'parshachas in Korin. B'shnei inyonim, Rashi says, zeh b'daf zeh, v'zeh b'daf zeh, Korin, de lo osi, l'shmute me'adodi. as far as Shnei Inyonim and Rashi's explanation is concerned, you have two people reading. We've opened the scroll, exposing not three columns. You're not allowed to open it more than three columns, but up till three columns you're allowed to open it. So party one is learning from the column closest to him. Party number two is reading from a second column that's closer to him. That type of use on the part of two people will not result in a tug of war between them, which would be a concern if two people are learning from the same column. And hence, with that type of use, each one learning from a separate column, we can allow two people to learn, to read from it at the same time. Motzuksus menara achas echod l'shloishim yoyim. The Gemara asks, "Lameimra the niur mali law? Is this to suggest that shaking out an article of clothing is beneficial for it?" The Homer of Yochanan, but Yochanan has a teaching that would suggest to the contrary. Before we learn the actual point of Rabbi Yochanan, first let's take note of the markings. On the side of the Gemara, we have as our topic, Tipul b'metzius ksus, the care of a found article of clothing. Under our mivneh, our structural note, we have a diamond feature, which introduces Meimros shor Rabbi Yochanan, different comments of Rabbi Yochanan, different teachings of Rabbi Yochanan, binyone shmiras momon ubrius, matters concerning care of items, of property, of money, and also words of wisdom concerning health matters. Later, triangles will appear, and they come to qualify, it highlights the expression velo amoron, that will be relevant to Rabbi Yochanan's comment later on concerning a health-related matter. In the meantime, we have our Mishnah telling us that the proper care of a found article of clothing is airing it out once every 30 days. And regarding that, we raise the question, is that really so that niur, shaking out a garment, is positive? The Omer Rabbi Yochanan, we continue with the first diamond. Mi shieshlo gardi umon besoch beso. This is a comment we can call sarcastic. And he says, someone who has an expert weaver in his house, someone who can manufacture clothing, then yinayu ksusa b'chol yom, then shake out your clothing every day. In other words, shaking out of clothing will basically ruin it, and you really ought not to do that unless you have someone who can constantly replace your clothing. So the Gemara answers, Amri b'chol yom koshi la. In fact, shaking out clothing every day is injurious, is literally bad for it. Echod l'shloshim yom mali la, but once every 30 days is beneficial. That's what the Mishnah said. Another resolution, another approach, lo kashya, ha b'chad, ha betray. If you're dealing with one person shaking it out, that's okay, that's beneficial for the garment. If it's two people at the same time, each one holding different ends of the garment and shaking it out, that is injurious for it. That's what's bad for it. And Iboy Esema, Lokashi, another resolution, Ha Biyada, Ha Behutra. Depends how you are shaking it out. If you're using using just your hands, or you're banging it with a stick. Iboy Esema, Lokashi, a fourth resolution, Ha Bede Ermra, Ha Bede Kisna. Depends on the fabric. If it's Ermra, if it's wool. So Rashi says, he gives a pshat, but the Vilna Gaon, the Gra, suggests that other Rishonim have an opposite shot. But Rashi's shot is that when you're dealing with Amra, with wool, it's injurious, it's strenuous, it's bad for the garment, it gets stretched out and can tear. And if it's Kisna, linen, then the airing out is good for it. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Kosa the Harshin, Velo Kosa the Poshin. Since Rabbi Yochanan was speaking up till now in the context of giving us good ideas, proper living, Rashi calls Hilchus Derech Eretz. Here we continue with good words, good ideas on regarding proper living. So Rabbi Yochanan here tells us that if you have a choice between drinking a cup on which spells were cast, or drinking lukewarm water, poshrin, lukewarmer, room temperature water, better to drink a cup that has spells cast on it. This is showing you how injurious a kus of poshrin is. V'lo amaron ela b'kli machis. And as we go on, the negative aspect of kus of the poshrin will be highly restricted, highly limited. Each one of the triangles represents a limitation of as to when it's not good to drink kus de poshrin. Poshrin again means either lukewarm or room temperature water. So the first qualification is that that's only b'kli matchis, when you're drinking from a metal vessel. Aval b'kli cheres, less lon ba. If you're drinking from a clay vessel, then there is no problem in the kus of the poshrin and the lukewarm water. B'kli matchis nami lo amaron. The danger in drinking it from a metal vessel is limited. Ela delo tzavis. It wasn't boiled up beforehand. Aval de tzavitz, less lon ba. If it was initially boiled up and then cooled off, even though you're drinking from a metal vessel, it's okay. V'lo amaron ela delo shoda be tivya. And even if it hadn't been boiled up beforehand, and you are drinking the poshrin from a metal vessel, it's problematic only if there's no tzivya put in the water. What's tzivya? Rashi says kol davar shenois l'socha mashke. Anything you put into drinks, o asavim, o tavlin, o ikrei besamim, kori tzivya. Whether it be some type of grasses or spices or roots of spice plants, that's what tzivya includes. So if you avol shoda be tzivya, if you put in it, you placed in it, you cast into it tzivya, less lon ba. Then whatever foul aspect would have been in the kus of the poshrin, the tzivya would have countered that. V'yomer Rabbi Yochanan, again, we have a sarcastic statement from which we can gain insight. Anyone who was left a lot of money by his father, someone inherited a lot of money, and he wants to destroy it, he wants to waste it. So then you would do the following. And obviously, the following are things that a person who has good sense would not do. So if you want to watch your money disappear, then yulbash bigdei pishton, wear linen clothing, v'yishtamish b'klei zechuchis, and use glass vessels, v'yiskor poyalim v'al yeshev imoyim, and hire workers and don't sit with them, don't watch them. And the Gemara explains, yulbash b'klei pishton, or bigdei pishton, wearing linen clothing, bikisna rumisa, doesn't mean all linens. It's a special kind of, probably very delicate, Rashi says it's expensive, the mayim yikorim, marim lichlos, they're expensive and also delicate, the rumisa type linens. V'yishtamish b'kli zchuchis, that's bezugisa chivrisa. Literally, it's white glass. It's a kind of expensive, fragile type glass that is, as we mentioned, expensive, and that's being fragile, the loss, the breakage is anticipated, and hence your loss. V'yiskor poyalim v'yoshev imoyen, the hiring of workers, let them work and don't supervise them, and you'll experience loss. Tir Guma will explain that. We continue at the top of Daf Lamed. Beturi, the Nofish Psidayu. Turi are oxen. So you have people that drive oxen that are used for cultivating your land. And the unsupervised oxen will result in your experience a great loss. Rashi at the top says the nafish, nafish is a lot, psidai your loss. Shiroiv avodas karkos shelem b'shvarim hoisa. The majority of their agricultural work was done through oxen. Af harishas akromim ubitzirasan. Likewise, the plowing of vineyards and harvesting. Manhigin klei machresha ba'agola bein shuros hakerem imabotrim. People would drive the oxen with plowing implements amongst the rows of the vineyard, together with harvesters. V'noisten sham huanovim, and while the oxen were driving the plow through between the rows of vines, they would also harvest the grapes. Lefikach im ein abaylim aleihem, if the owner is not there, yesh hefsid gadol, there could be great loss. She'ein derech hapoyelim lochus al hakerem, it's not the way of workers to have concern over the vines, v'al hashvorim, and on the oxen. U'manhigim oisan al hagfanim v'al hanetias, and they'll allow the oxen to trample over the vines and the saplings, the newly planted vines. V'heim niskatlin v'ashorim nischavin v'nishborim, and the result of all of that is the ruination of the plants and the oxen getting scratched and breaking. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.